So we're going to talk about church this morning. I want to start right off the bat that the church is not a social organization. Although we certainly socialize and we fellowship with each other, the church is not a civic organization. Although we strive to impact our community in many different ways, our church is not a charitable organization. Although we do many acts of charity and compassion, like we're experiencing this morning, the church is also not an activist organization, although we definitely advocate for our cause. The church is not an educational organization, although we need to work hard to teach the foundations of truth that we believe. The church is the body of Christ. And belonging to a church is an incredible privilege. Incredible privilege. It's an unbelievable honor, and it is a really weighty, is that a word, weighty? Yeah, weighty responsibility that far too many of us take too lightly. Generalizing a little bit here. Ever since COVID, there has been this marked impact on the church. In fact, I remember during COVID, I would come here to Sundays by myself, and I remember crying as I walked in and prayed because the body of Christ was not together. And one of the things, the results of that COVID season, and this is not just our church, this is churches all over the world, experienced a very sharp decline in attendance, you know, because just the uncertainty of COVID, people weren't sure if they should be around other people anymore. And because that lull, that break that people had, many people chose, for whatever reason, varieties of reasons, to not return. And so church attendance, if you read anything about church attendance and stuff like that, it hasn't been a good thing. Just actually last week, I read another article on church attendance. And since COVID, because when COVID was sort of finally over and we could get back together, there was this hope that there would be an explosion of growth. That growth never happened. Actually, in the North American church right now, there is still a decline in church attendance all around. They've suggested this. This was a study done by Family Life Research in the States, but they've given three reasons why church attendance is on the decline. And I can't go into detail of all these things, but it's fascinating. But one was just generally greater affluence. People are using their resources to travel, especially the younger generation. They spend more time. Their weekends are used exploring the things that they want to be a part of, so greater affluence. Another issue is self-directed spirituality, where people are just sort of like, I can navigate my own life, my own way. And I have a friend right now that was quite active in the church, found Jesus quite active in the church, and now he is not going to church and sort of directing his own life. And so he's reading all sorts of things to get the help that he thinks. And it's a mixture of the Bible, it's a mixture of self-help, and he's just all over the place. And if you throw a little marijuana and other things in there, it's not doing very well. That's self-directed spirituality. And the third reason is just a simple failure to see a direct benefit of attending a church. And so people that normally would come regularly were now coming maybe 3 weeks out of 4 weeks. And that has now dropped from 3 weeks to 2 weeks out of 4 weeks a month. And so it's a huge challenge for us. And so when I talk about membership, that's actually diving in a little deeper rather than on the periphery. And so a person, when they give their life to Jesus, immediately becomes a member of the universal, invisible body of Christ at the very moment of their salvation. Invisible because only God can see who is truly saved and truly a member of the body of Christ. And at that moment, you're instantaneously connected with every other Christ follower in the world for all eternity. It's sort of a mind-blowing thing. That's the universal church. Romans 12, 4-5 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And so, what about church membership in a visible local location like DBBC right here in this plant? And I'm going to submit to you today that church membership is very important. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. That's why we're sort of answering the question, why do we do that? And so let me read for you our key text this morning, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. You can follow along. Excuse me. "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So you remember last week, if you were here, that the church at Corinth were dealing with some very serious problems. And let me refresh your memories. They were struggling with unity issues. They had immorality issues. They had the Lord's Supper issues. And they had leadership issues. And that's just to name a few. And so Paul is making the case in this passage that the problems that develop in a church affect everyone in the church to some degree, some directly, some indirectly, some in a very intense way, some in a mild way. But because of the nature of the church, problems that develop and sin that is prevalent will affect all the members of the church. Excuse me. So I want to give you four components of the church that will help you, I believe, understand what the church is and how you and I, how we're all interrelated with one another. And these are all found in the passage I just read. So the first is simply the body that's found in verses 12 and 14. Paul writes, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And then in verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, in Colossians, this passage in Colossians states this about Jesus. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy. And so this analogy of the body that Paul uses shows both a unity and a diversity within the body of Christ, which is the church, okay? All the different parts of the human body are different for a purpose, but they all have to work together. And it's the same with the church. We are different in so many ways. We have different backgrounds. We have different upbringings. We are filled with male and female. There's racial differences. We all have different spiritual gifts, but we all come together to work together for the advancement of the gospel, the strengthening of the church. We do it together. Now, the second component is the baptism. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. There is only one Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, and every Christ follower has been baptized by the Holy Spirit at the very moment of their salvation into one body. In that baptism, he gives spiritual gifts to each one of us, each of us individually, so that each of us together can serve him. 1 Corinthians 12, 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and distributes them to each one just as he determines. So the Holy Spirit, the moment of salvation, gives each and every one of us one or two spiritual gifts that we might work together in unity in the body to proclaim the gospel. Now, there's a third component that's found in this passage, and it's found in the word belonging. Now, I'm going to read this again. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say the feet, I don't need you. And then Paul, he after he writes this, he drives home the point that although we are different and have been given different spiritual gifts, we belong to each other, and we absolutely need each other. It's ludicrous to think that the eye doesn't need the ear, or the hand doesn't need the foot, or the heart doesn't need the brain. All of us who are Christ followers belong to him, are a part of his body, and we belong to each other. And the last component, I use the word benevolence, but I think it's more, I expanded it to kindness, compassion, and charity. In verses 22 and 26, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weak are indispensable, and the parts we think less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That's a very long way to say this simple statement. Every member of the body of Christ matters. Every one of us. Those with gifts that are more public, gifts like teaching or preaching, and those with more sort of behind-the-scenes gifts like giving or mercy. And no matter who you are or the gifts that you have been given, will at some point, all of us need the type of benevolent, kind, compassionate, generous, loving care of each other, of the other members. We need each other. We should have the same care for one another or equal concern for each other so that when one of us hurts, we all hurt. You know, when Jesus, he made it absolutely clear that we are to love one another at all times. That's what we're supposed to do. And so these are, four components of the church. And because of that, I want to state that membership in a local church is an important aspect of the Christian life that every Christ follower needs. But the question that always comes up for me is simply why? Why do we need to do this? And so let me give you a few reasons why membership is important. The first thing is it's biblical. The New Testament word for church is the word ekklesia, which means gathering or assembly, and that is true. But the church is more than just a gathering or something that we do on Sunday morning or perhaps midweek at a small group. Church is so much more than that. You know, perhaps a better definition for the church is a local community of believers who gather for worship and then scatter to witness. It's not just about what happens here on a Sunday morning. It's just as important as what happens out there during the week. It reminded me when I went to a church. I took my last staff down to California. We went to a bunch of churches wanting to know how we can take the next step, how we can grow. And I remember one of the churches that we went into had a sign over their main door. It says, "We entered to worship and depart to serve." And they had a sign as you left their parking lot that said simply this, "You are now entering the mission field." And I thought to myself, that is so accurate, that is so true. This is what you see in New Testament churches. You know, where believers were gathered together in their local communities. They worship together. They serve together. They witness together. They minister together. And while you won't find a Bible verse that says, "Thou shalt join a church," it's clear that membership in a local church was important to the churches in the New Testament. In fact, most letters in the New Testament were written to specific churches in specific locations, like Corinth, like Galatia, like Ephesus, and others. You know, another biblical reason that we know that there were specific churches that believers were members of and that the office of leadership were chosen from those who were members of that church. The first deacons, in fact, they were selected from within the church body. They were selected to care for people of the church body. And 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says that the members of the church should respect those who work among you. The Lord has placed them over you, and they are your teachers. And that respect from that passage only makes sense if there are people who are actual members of the local church where those officers or those pastors and deacons are there to actually serve that congregation. Another biblical reason for church membership is found in Jesus' teaching on church discipline in Matthew 18. It says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. You see, there's this clear process where a person found in sin goes through these steps to either restore them, which would be the preferred thing, or to remove them from the church. And again, that only makes sense if there's an actual membership in the local church. Otherwise, you know, what would the erring brother or sister be removed from? What would they be removed from? And why would that person agree to go through a process at all if they weren't sort of intimately connected in a local body of believers? You know, one more reason that membership in a local church is important is that it's meaningful. You know, when we consider Paul's analogy of the body, we sort of readily see that each member of a church has a meaningful, important place in that body. Now, we may feel that our part is insignificant, but if that insignificant part of the body is taken away or isn't functioning properly, the entire body is affected and weakened and actually made more vulnerable. You know, like take your eye, for example, and the pupil that is in your eye. It dilates 2 to 4 millimeters in bright light. And it dilates from 4 to 8 millimeters in darkness. And functions, it sort of functions like an aperture on a camera, allowing the right amount of light into our eyes so that we can see clearly. So if our pupils aren't working properly, our eyes can be damaged and it causes vision problems and that leads to other problems. Okay, I bet you've never thought of this. Think about your nose hairs for a moment, right? As you get older, they're annoying, but we don't think about them very much. They're tiny, they're mostly out of sight, but they serve in a very important purpose of filtering dust and allergens and keeping those things from getting into your lungs, which we'd all agree is a pretty important part of our bodies. Take your capillaries. For example, they're the smallest blood vessels in your body, but they're absolutely important for transporting nutrients and oxygen to the cells and organs in your bodies. I think you understand what I'm saying and what Paul is saying. No part of the body is unimportant. In the same way, every member of the church has a meaningful place in the body and should strive to contribute to the health and strength of the church. Being meaningfully connected to a local visible church is the way to do that. And that's one of the bigger reasons why churches are suffering now, because people are not connecting, they're not attending, they're not being a part of it. They're partly doing their own thing, and partly doing church stuff. and the church suffers for it. Now, here's another reason membership's important. It's identifiable. Membership in a visible local New Testament church is the church, the church's affirmation that you are, in fact, a follower of Jesus Christ. Those who are accepted into membership here are people whom we believe have a personal relationship with Jesus and are therefore true card-carrying Jesus representatives in the world. It shows that you are serious about representing Jesus because you want to be publicly identified with his believer, with his people. You know, part of that's why I showed that video before about the football team and the other sports teams. Because when you join a sports team, when you put on their jersey, you identify yourself as a member of that team. And then you get out in that field, you get out in that court, you get out in that pool, and you play for that team with your other teammates. When you join yourself to Jesus Christ and you put on his garments of grace, you identify yourself as a member of his team, the local church. And then you get busy and you serve him with your fellow church members. Here's another reason why membership's important. It's accountable. And all of us need accountability. We need to have people in our lives that are watching over us, who lovingly will point out our blind spots and our danger zones, and who speak truth into our lives, even if it's the hard truth. And being a member of a local church automatically brings those people into your life. Here's another reason. Membership in a local church is also beneficial. Being a member of a local church is just simply good for you. It provides much needed components for a strong walk with Jesus. It provides spiritual nourishment. It provides serving opportunities. It provides sincere relationships and strong support. And here's one last reason, and it's my favorite reason. It's just simply joyful. It's joyful. In verse 26, we read, every part rejoices with it. Belonging to a church means investing your life in a gospel-centered community of believers who joyfully serve one another and advance Jesus' mission together. Like, it was my pleasure this morning. It really was to have a conversation with somebody here, asking them if they would take on the responsibility of doing a meal after one of our services in January. And the smile on her very face, just, it lights up. And it brings me great joy because it's not a hardship. It's not a problem. It's doing something to benefit the body of Christ. And I absolutely love that kind of response. You know, it brings joy. And that serving of lunch after a church service for a church family, I believe, advances Jesus' mission because we do it together. And so today is actually an opportunity for you to become a member of this church if you've never done so. You know, for some of you, that means that you just simply need to make that decision to join the visible church here at DBBC. You're a believer, you've been worshiping with us, and now it's time to take that step and unite with us. Coming to a membership class does not mean that you will be a member. We will ask you really just one question, and that will be for you to share your story of how you came to know Jesus. And then we'll tell you all about our church. We will share all the exciting things that we believe and where we're going, the direction, and how we need you to be a part of it. And so we have a membership class coming up in a few short weeks. And the date is just slipping me right now. Do you remember, Dorothy? Yes, thank you. On the 8th. And there'll be a light lunch. And we would love just to share that. And as I said before, there is material out there. As a church family, you should know that it's our membership that votes on things, right? There's five things that we vote on, but we vote on things, and the leadership team for the past, gosh, I don't know, it feels like 2 months now. We've been meeting every Saturday morning, and we've been praying for some future direction, and we have some things that we've got to share with our church family that will make an impact on our future, starting with next year's budget. And so you need to come, and we're going to start this process on January the 5th. It's a Sunday. And the service is going to be dedicated to that. And then the following week, we're going to break it down a little bit more. And after the service, that Sunday, we're going to meet together, have lunch together, and then we're going to unpack it all. And so just mark those dates on your calendar. But on the 8th, we have a membership class, and that's a good place to start. And so with that in mind, let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that we get this incredible privilege to belong to a church family. And we know, Father, that we are part of the universal church, that we're part of the body as a whole. But you have set apart individual churches all over the world to be a gospel influence in the community that you have placed them. And we think of our church family. We think of the communities that you have placed us in, Dallas and Barnardville and Campbell Creek and parts of Valley View and in Juniper. And we are just really privileged, Father, that over 50 years ago, you planted this church to reach these communities. I thank you, Father, that you've raised up your body here. And Father, I pray that you would help those in us that are just wrestling with this whole idea of membership and what it means. I pray that your word has been clear today. I pray that you would motivate them to make that brave step of becoming a member of our church. But Father, even before membership, we need to know you. And I pray that for those that do not know Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would alight upon them and help them to see their need for Jesus. And we rejoice that you're working in our midst. We rejoice that you are calling people to salvation, that you're helping people make the choice to be baptized, that you will help your people become members of this church. You will help your people to become disciples. And we're grateful that we can talk about these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.